This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. We haven't got a lot of time today for snippets because there's a lot to talk about. But I think I just wanted to mention something very, very briefly, and that concerns Kibbutz Be'eri. Now, people know probably that Kibbutz Be'eri is the kibbutz that's right on the Gaza border and that really bore the brunt of what went down on October the 7th. And what many people don't know is that one of the major successes of the kibbutz, certainly before October the 7th and indeed afterwards, is the printing press, Be'eri Press, that has been located there for many, many years and has been enormously successful. And the press was actually, the printing machines were restarted by its employees a week after October the 7th, when the kibbutz was absolutely decimated and everybody was moved away from the kibbutz. And we may remember the war that was raging at the time in the area. The kibbutz printing presses were fired up again, and people around Israel rallied in order to try to send them as much business as possible, including the posters that you see of the hostages. We see them sprayed around everywhere. Most of those were printed at Kibbutz Be'eri. And the latest venture that they've entered into is now a children's book, a colorful children's book, which they've been producing and printing in cooperation with another Israeli company called MeBook.ai. And this is a book a children's book, which actually includes the child himself, the name of the child, and a picture of the child. And that all gets included and incorporated into the story. And then many of these books are now being printed by the Be'eri Press. And I think it's a nice personalized venture and something which is really just positive coming out of a situation which was just horrendous, went on at that part in Kibbutz Be'eri at that time.
Of all the places I visited after October 7th, the Be'eri was the one that just completely took me down. It was unimaginable. But let's talk about the President Trump's presented his latest proposal to free the hostages, end the war, and even for the day after the war in Gaza. What are the main points?
There's a lot to talk about here, and there's a lot to unpack. And I don't know how many of the listeners would have watched the press conference yesterday and whether you had the chance to do so. But it certainly was a show. And one of the things that is very, very obvious to me about President Trump every time he gets up to speak is how he likes to reinforce how much people love him. He is going to be, well, he presented the Peace Council, which is for the day after in Gaza, that will apparently be the ultimate ruling council that will take care of Gaza. And then he goes, and the president of the Peace Council would be President Donald J. Trump of the United States, as if though he's never met this person before, and he's presenting him to the, and then he goes, and when people heard that I was going to be the chairman of the council, then everybody wanted to be on the council. People just loved me, and they just loved being on the council with me.
He's my
best. And then, and I don't know what psychologists make all of this. It's a little uncomfortable for me to be fed all of this all the time, and it makes me wonder whether he has some sort of a slight kind of inferiority complex, although it wouldn't be very obvious to all of us when we watch him operate. But why do we need to constantly be reminded about how much people love him? Is it because they don't love him and that he's trying to create a certain reality? Anyway, let's leave the show to one side. Let's talk about substance. There was a lot of substance going on here. And the presentation was relatively simple, and not complete, but I think it gave us a good indication of where things are going. So first things first, the release of hostages, dead and alive within 72 hours. That's it. Over and done with. That is one of the main cornerstones of the proposal. The next is, of course, that Israel will release hundreds and potentially even thousands of prisoners in Israeli prisons, including many of those who have blood on their hands and have supposedly been involved in murdering Israelis, many of those who have been arrested since October the 7th, many of those who have been involved in the events of October the 7th. The prisons will essentially be emptied of prisoners, and that will be a quid pro quo that Israel will pay for the return of the hostages. Israel will withdraw from Gaza, although the prime minister then went on to somehow say, well, there will be Israeli presence in certain parts of Gaza. That certainly wasn't obvious to me from what President Trump presented. Then the next thing is that Hamas will be disarmed and will not play any future role in Gaza at all. So that's another cornerstone of this particular proposal. There will be some sort of a council, a lower level council that will govern over Gaza, that will be comprised of factions and groupings that live in Gaza. The idea is that those people who want to continue to live in Gaza will be welcome to do so, and that there will be freedom of movement for those people who wish to leave, for those people who wish to return. There will be a relatively free flow backwards and forwards in and out of Gaza according to what people wish to do. But of course, the overall governing body will be the so-called Peace Council that will be chaired by President Donald J. Trump of the United States. And I think that the actual work of the Peace Council will probably be undertaken by Tony Blair, who, as many people will remember, was the former UK Prime Minister, and he currently doesn't have a proper job as President Trump has, and so he will probably have more time to be involved in some of the more day-to-day things. And that is really the main proposal that has been presented. No timelines were proposed as to when this will happen. We are told that all of the Arab countries in the region have been consulted, have made their input, and have agreed to the plan. The president also said that he previously met with Prime Minister Netanyahu just before they came out to the press conference, and that Prime Minister Netanyahu has agreed to the plan. We understand that Egypt and Qatar have presented the plan to Hamas, who have not yet agreed to the plan and have made some comments, and I'll come back to that in a moment. We also understand that Prime Minister Netanyahu was made to call the Prime Minister of Qatar and to apologize for the attack that was carried out on Qatari soil and undertake not to do that again. That was one of the prices that Israel has had to pay for this, and that's already been done. So whether or not this plan is adopted, that apology and undertaking is already done. Now, what the president said is that if Hamas do not accept this plan, then Israel is essentially free to do what he calls finish the job, and that will get all of his support. Now, when we say finish the job, I guess it excludes the possibility of going after the Hamas leadership in Qatar, because that's already been apologized for and promised
and undertaken that he won't do it again. Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know that we can really finish the job in the fullest possible sense, because that to me would certainly be part of finishing the job. We also have had a little bit of feedback from Hamas. Some have said, we haven't heard about this plan, so we don't know anything about it. Some of whom have said, this plan sounds like it's an Israeli-American plan and doesn't take into consideration anything of our side of the deal. Some have said, we are looking at it and we're thinking about it. Steve Witkoff has said, oh, they're considering it very positively. Qatar and Egypt have said they are keeping an open mind about considering it. If you're asking me what I expect, I don't think that Hamas are going to accept this plan. I think they're going to say no to this. And I don't know why they would have an incentive to say yes.
Surely it's not about, it's the fact that Egypt, Qatar, Saudi, UAE have all, Turkey have all signed up to it. So surely right. Hamas has run out of runway, effectively, because if all of these countries have said we accept it, it's going to look very, very bad for them if Hamas doesn't, and therefore surely Hamas has no choice. Hamas, doesn't it cut off Hamas's lifeline, really?
Well, I think that by accepting it, they could potentially be cutting their lifeline off, because it's clear that they're not going to have part of the future of Gaza. But, you know, I have two questions which I have no answers to. Question number one is, what happens to Hamas after this if they do accept the deal? Where are they? Where the leadership remain in Qatar. They've accepted the deal, so they effectively have some sort of a lifeline, to use your words, Howard. They have some sort of currency with the Arab world because they've gone and accepted the president's proposal. But where does this leave them? What's the next step for the leadership of Hamas in Qatar? I don't know the answer to that, and I don't see a future for them. Unless, of course, there is something that we're missing here that will mean Hamas somehow will indirectly have certain influence in Gaza moving forward. And they're kind of trying to work that through because their leadership is still intact and they still have the same interests and they still would like to carry out another October the 7th. So how is that all going to be woven in to their acceptance of this plan? That's question number one. Question number two is, what happens if Hamas don't accept the plan? What do Qatar do? Are Qatar going to kick them out? I somehow doubt it. Mm-hmm. I somehow think that they're going to find a way to say, oh, this is Hamas. This is what they've decided. We haven't been able to convince them despite our best efforts, but we're leaving them in their five-star hotels in Doha for now. We're not going to kick them out anywhere. We're just going to accommodate them. But, you know, we need to continue somehow to negotiate this in order to come to an agreement between all the parties, because this is an agreement that cannot be imposed. It has to be mutually agreed. Mm. I suspect that the second scenario is going to happen, that Qatar is somehow going to find a way elegantly to continue to support the Hamas leadership in Doha, to keep them safe there, because now they've had this promise that Israel is not going to attack again. And the situation simply continues, that President Trump will say, finish the job, whatever that might mean. But in Doha, everything's okay. So I don't really know what to make of it. I mean, if some people have said that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been pushed into a corner by being forced to apologize to the Qataris and by being forced to open the prisons. Some people have also said that members of the Israeli coalition, most notably Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, will leave Netanyahu high and dry if he accepts this agreement and if it moves forward, because they don't agree with it and they feel that the war in Gaza still needs to go somewhere. So there are many, many unanswered questions. My view is that if somehow we can bring our hostages home and we can remove Hamas from the future, and I'm not quite sure how we do that, that would be a major achievement. But I think we're still far away from that. I just feel, even though this is all being presented with great fanfare yesterday and with Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff and President Trump and J.D. Vance and everybody in attendance, and everybody's been spoken to, including the King of Jordan and including the prime ministers and the presidents and the president of Turkey and of Egypt, everybody's bought into this. I am not optimistic that this plan is going anywhere.
That's so interesting.
And the next few days are going to be very interesting for us to see diplomatic where this goes. And I think that Trump's resolve is really going to be tested now if Hamas refuse, because what happens next? What is he going to do? What is he going to support? Where does it leave his relationship with the rest of the Arab world? How's that all going to come together? So while I'm hopeful that the plan will somehow be accepted and our hostages will come home first and foremost, I still remain highly skeptical and somewhat pessimistic, unfortunately,
yeah, so
about the
I don't share your pessimism, which is, which is obviously neither of us know, but it's just a feeling. My view is a little bit different, is that this is the first time we've seen a unified Arab world standing behind and standing alongside Trump. We know that there's many, many commercial and other factors that he's put into this. He's also putting his reputation on the line, and by heading this up, as he says, he is not just making it happen, but he is ensuring that it will happen. And we know that his reputation and ego drive him tremendously. So I think that this has a significant chance of success. I love the fact that it all took place alongside the United Nations at the same time, but in fact doesn't involve the United Nations at all. It's rendered them a useless body. I love the fact that anybody that's screaming about genocide, in inverted commas, now has got to call for this ceasefire and hold Hamas accountable, because it's very clear that if there is no ceasefire, if there's no end to this, it is clearly in the hands of Hamas. So I see all of these, even if it doesn't ultimately result in the peace that's envisioned, I think this is a tremendously, tremendously important shift in the narrative, Anthony.
I agree with everything that you've said, Howard, and I share the reasons that you present for your relative optimism rather than my relative pessimism. One of the interesting things, by the way, is that he's also mentioned that all of the European leaders are signed up to this, even though many of them have been calling for a Palestinian state. Mm. And he also said in the press conference that Prime Minister Netanyahu insisted that there shouldn't be a Palestinian state, and said President Trump, I absolutely understand him. Those were the words that he used about the possibility of a future Palestinian state. So I'm glad that we sort of disagree with each other, because I suppose one of us will be right in the end. and I hope that you are the one who is right and not me. But I know we've overrun our time.
Yeah, we
so
really
much.
Have. Because he's jumping
so
up and
much
down.
To think and talk about.
Yeah, we will definitely continue this conversation tomorrow. It is 8:02. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, you can catch Anthony tomorrow at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.